and also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning again. We're in the season of Epiphany now. The church year is moving along at its own pace, not the pace of the world. And this season is all about light. The word Epiphany means a sudden appearance or a realization, an illumination, what we might call an aha moment. We use expressions like "it dawned on me" or "I see the light" because it's light, either literal or metaphorical, that gives us understanding. So Epiphany began with some kind of astronomical event that caught the attention of some stargazers from Persia, 1,000 miles or more from Bethlehem. And today we imagine the light that poured forth when the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit came down like a white bird on Jesus and the voice of God spoke after he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Light. That's who Jesus is. God the Father spoke to God the Son through Isaiah the prophet, saying, "I am giving you as a light to the nations." John wrote about Jesus, "The light came into the world, and the darkness has not overcome it." And Jesus said it about himself when he spoke to the crowds, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light of the world. We've heard that so many times, and we read it, we sing it, but sometimes we forget to stop and think about what it really means. Now, when human beings invent their own gods, like the Greeks and the Romans, they tend to imagine some kind of razzle-dazzle star power kind of god, gods that hurl lightning bolts, gods that intimidate mere mortals with the sheer brilliance of their power. But that is nothing like the real Jesus that we meet in the Gospels. And one of the reasons that people didn't recognize Jesus when he showed up is that they expected that kind of God. They expected the Messiah to show up like a superhero who would ride in on a white charger in a blinding flash of glory and obliterate everything in his path, especially the Romans. But then John wrote what really happened. The true light came into the world, and his people, his own people, didn't know him. God gave Jesus as a light to the world, but they didn't recognize him because he was not anything like what they imagined. One true thing about light is that it's essential to us, something we need. Without light, very few living things can thrive, whether they're plants or animals or human beings. In our part of the world, in the winter, a lot of people suffer from a condition called seasonal affective disorder, SAD, or SAD, which is a good name because the main symptom is people get depressed. They don't have a lot of energy. They get cranky. They have a hard time getting along with each other. Sometimes they feel sad and sleep a lot. In extreme cases, like the far north, where it's just dark for days and days or months, people feel suicidal sometimes. But the cause of all that is the absence of light. The days are so short and there's so little daylight in the winter months that even with all our electric lights and our warm houses, our minds and our bodies are just starving for a little bit of real sunlight long before the winter is over. Light is something we need. Light is so central to the whole creation that the first thing God did when he made the world was what Carol read today. Let there be light, he said. And he saw that the thing he spoke into being was good. When Jesus traveled the roads and taught healing the sick and casting out demons, the people flocked to him by the thousands. Sometimes so many people surrounded him that he was in danger of being trampled. They were desperate just to be near him, just to reach out and touch him, to hear his voice. The poor and the sick and the outcast, they sought Jesus like a plant in a dark place stretches itself out to find the light. The scribes and the teachers of the law provided the people with rules and with traditions, with religion. But Jesus was what they really needed. He offered love and kindness and wisdom and healing. He offered the power to overcome the darkness in their lives. He was light and life to them, and they knew it right away. It is a modern concept, or rather a popular misconception, I'd say, that light and darkness are these two opposing forces, like in Star Wars. I've often heard people say something to the effect that light isn't really able to be completely light without a little darkness to set it off. And what they're saying is the goodness in the world really needs a little badness so we can recognize it and appreciate it. And in fact, if you watch too many horror movies, you might be tempted to think that even though light is the thing we like better, it's actually darkness that has the real power. If I'm ever tempted to think like that, my favorite picture is to imagine two rooms. One room that is absolutely pitch black, and one room that is full of light. If you open the door between those two rooms, what happens? You know what happens. What light wins every time. The light pours in to obliterate the darkness, to light up every corner. Darkness can never pour out to obliterate the light. Because the second truth about light is that darkness has no real existence. Darkness is only the absence of light. Light is the real thing. The only power that darkness wields over us is to deceive us or confuse us, to make us afraid. The light shines in the darkness, John wrote, but the darkness has not overcome it, and it never will. And the third true thing about light is that it's contagious. Just before Christmas, there was a conjunction of planets, the planets Jupiter and Saturn. It was really hyped up by the media. They were calling it the Christmas star because the two planets were going to appear so near each other in the sky that they'd look like one very bright star. And unfortunately, we live in such a cloudy area of the country that we didn't get to see it. But those two planets don't really shine. They don't shine on their own. The brightness that we see is just the reflection of the light of our sun shining on them from millions and millions and millions of miles away. And in the same way, we know that our moon is just a big cold, dusty, lumpy ball. It's just a rock. It has no power of its own to produce light. What we call moonlight is just a reflection of the sun's light shining on it from 93 million miles away. And yet the full moon reflecting that distant glow is bright enough to cast a shadow on the Earth a quarter of a million miles away. Light is not only powerful, it is contagious. Light enlightens. Walk as children of the light, Paul wrote to the Ephesians. When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. We have been living through some very dark times. Our lives have been shadowed by the threat of COVID-19 for almost a year now, or it feels like a year. Most of us have grown accustomed to this new normal of separation and isolation. We stay at home most of the time and venture out carefully for groceries or doctor's appointments. We wear our masks when we go out. We wash our hands carefully when we get home. Generations of families ate their Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners in their separate homes this year instead of gathering together. Hospitals and nursing homes aren't allowing visitors for their residents or their patients. When we see each other, we keep our distance. We don't hug anymore. I hate that. And this past week has seemed particularly dark. It has been particularly dark as the Congress came together to certify the results of the presidential election. Thousands of rioters marched on the Capitol building and broke in. 5 people lost their lives. One of the rioters was shot, and a policeman who had served in the Capitol for 12 years was hurt trying to keep order, and he died of his injuries. The darkness has seemed more than usually powerful lately. Now is the time for us to remember that the light of the world has come to dwell among us. Now is the time to remind ourselves that the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness will never be able to shine into the light. Now is the time for us to remember that the darkness cannot overcome the light. Now is the time to walk in this dark world as children of light. Now, most of us probably don't feel like we have much power in and of ourselves to do anything about these enormous darknesses all around us. And we're not wrong. I know I recognize my uselessness and my feebleness most of the time. But the truth is that we have been baptized into the one who is the light of the world. And that means that we reflect the light of Jesus Christ, just like we're little moons, not by the power of our own goodness, but by the infinitely bright power of His goodness. And that means that we are illuminated at all times by the brightness of His love and His grace and His gentleness and His mercy and His forgiveness. When our big kids were little kids, we taught them to sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine." They'd hold up one finger, which is not that easy when you've got those fat little baby hands, and they'd sing, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine all the time, let it shine." And I think maybe those words, in all their simplicity that most of us don't even think about anymore, those words come as close as anybody can come to saying what it means to know that Jesus is the light of the world. Because He is light, we become light ourselves. Because we reflect His light, we become sharers of His mission of healing and of redemption and of renewal. Because we shine brightly in this world that is so desperately in need of light. Amen.